Welcome to Thriving Your Love, a podcast where we will guide and help you improve your most precious relationships in life. This podcast is produced and hosted by certified emotionally focused therapist, Claudio Vargas Silva, licensed marriage and family therapist, and Trisha Kim Walsh, also licensed marriage and family therapist.
Welcome back, viewers and listeners, to Thriving Your Love. It's me, Trish, and with Claudio today. And we have another excellent topic, Claudio. That's something that we see often in our couples therapy room with our partners regarding how to be a responsive partner, how to be emotionally vulnerable. Claudio, this is something that really helped me do better couples therapy work, is to understand what happens in the room when a partner feels shut down or zones out because they don't feel their partner really understands them. I hear that consistently, Claudio. I heard about that during the pandemic, and I am hearing that ongoing, is I don't feel when I share something that's happening inside of me that I'm really going to be understood and validated. So I go inside of myself. I go away to protect, and I feel so alone. I feel so confused because I want the connection. I want to be loved. I want to feel that I matter, but I get hurt. And they don't say that I get hurt. They say she or he, they are criticizing me, attacking me, and I just want it to stop. So that's our topic for today, Claudio. I'm really excited to talk to you about it. And in the past, when we've done these workshops, we also talk about it in the frame of EFT glossary of pursuing and withdrawing. So for all intents and purposes, listeners, we are talking through the model of EFT, and we will be using withdrawer. So Claudio, speaking of which, maybe we should define that. What does it mean to withdraw as a partner?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much for explaining that. So EFT comes from emotionally focused therapy, which is the therapy that we use with our partners. And it's so well researched and several studies that validate it. And then we have the pursuer and the withdrawer. And the pursuer is the one who is seeking connection and that notices when the couple is disconnected. And the withdrawer is the one that avoids because doesn't feel he or she belongs with the other one. And it's so interesting because when we see a partner that is avoiding, like for fear of being criticized or hurt or for fear of hurting the other, we don't know exactly what is happening with this person. On many occasions, what happens is something that came from childhood when this person doesn't or didn't feel like he or she belonged with their parents or their attachment figures. So what happens is that they bring this to their adulthood and they don't feel like they belong to their partner. So they feel like they are unimportant, that there is something wrong about them. So they avoid connection.
And as we're talking about this, Claudio, and it's a bit of a repeat that we look in how when we are not responding to our partners, that this fuels the negative cycle. That's what Sue Johnson names in this terrible dilemma of a partner who is on the defense rather than on the response to hear an invitation to slow down and listen, and not to raise up the wall. Claudio, that's something that we notice in these moments of the withdrawing partner to say, even if I share, I feel already I'm being set up to be attacked or not be understood. And what I really feel is powerful in these moments, Claudio, is to be aware these are partners that called each other soulmates and said, we used to be able to talk when we first started dating. And now what I say upsets them, or it sounds like I get dismissed, that I'm wrong. And they feel like they don't get anything right. That's a theme I consistently hear is no matter how much I'm trying, it feels like my partner's looking at all the mistakes I'm making, not all the things that I'm doing really well or that I'm trying to do well. That's why we're in couples therapy, or that's why we're doing this workshop, or that's why I'm reading this workbook, is like, look at me, what I'm trying to do is show you, I care and you matter to me, but you don't see the efforts that I'm making here.
And what happens is that after you had some negative experiences in your childhood and you didn't feel like you belong, you were accepted, and you become so sensitive to any criticism that will confirm that there is something wrong about you, right? Then you bring this to the relationship and it's hard to understand what is happening, for example, with the other partner that is trying to get you to connect with him or her. You think that it's actually a rejection on you. And then it confirms all the fears and all the things that you felt in your childhood, that there is something really wrong with you, that you don't belong. And then it causes the person to avoid even more. And what happens is that for the partner that we call the pursuer, that is trying to get that person to connect, this partner doesn't understand what is happening with the other, because this partner might think, well, the other wants to go away from me, is not interested about being with me, about having a relationship with me. This partner doesn't understand that the other is actually thinking, oh, you know, she or he doesn't like me. I should just go away because they don't feel good with me. They don't like my presence. So I should just go away. That this will be even a favor. I'm making them a favor by not being close to them and connected to them. Because if I am connected with them, I'm going to hurt them. So they don't like me. They're criticizing me all the time. It is better, actually, if I go away, because they are going to be happier without me. It's so interesting because the partner who wants to be with the other doesn't know that actually the other is avoiding, because the other thinks that they would be happier without him or her, and is thinking that it's personal. Because what do we see? That there is a magical thinking that happens with partners that don't have a good connection. They think always that it's about them. It's hard for them to think about what is happening with the other, that the other doesn't feel like deserving their love and affection, and then goes away. And then this one here thinks that the other is going away because he or she doesn't deserve their love. So each one of them is with this magical thinking that keeps them away from each other, Tricia.
Right. Great, Claudio. This is the reason I love this model so much, Claudio, is to understand this terrible pain that couples go through all the time, that you and I have talked, that we in our own relationships, we've gone through this as well, of how we try to keep the peace of this conflict. And the responsiveness is, I don't want you to leave this relationship. I also need to be validated that I matter to you in this relationship. So pursuers are aware of any kind of rejection by, if you go away, that means you don't care. That means I don't, this is not important to you. That's why you're shutting down. You're putting up your wall. You're not putting in the time and the energy. And on the receiving end, the person who's withdrawing is, I just want to keep the peace. I don't want to argue. I don't want you to hurt. I don't want to disappoint you. If I go away, maybe that increases our chances of still being together and everything's going to be okay. If you can just calm down, and I can soothe your fears by removing me, because it feels like I'm the common denominator of this problem, is what I say and how you respond with criticism. I'm not getting anything right. So I might as well not do anything at all. And that to me makes sense of this vicious cycle, as we call it in EFT, Claudio, right? This vicious cycle that goes over and over again. As I reach, I get rejected. I make an effort. You see the mistakes I've made. And then, Claudio, even deepening this is, where does this come from? How much it makes sense this comes from our own childhood and the moments when we as children, didn't we either got rejected or abandoned on some level, whether it was with friends, family, teachers, peers. And so that's really what we are here to do in this podcast, is to have discussion on, how do you respond? How do you get out of this, Claudio? And I know we were planning to do a part two on this, is what's next is, how do you create the healing? Well, we do that all the time. We hope to do that in these podcasts too.
And I think that part of the healing is really having an understanding and acceptance that things are not personal. And like, for example, when we think about this person that avoids, this person that goes away, this person is thinking that they don't deserve to be loved. So part of the healing process is that they notice that what happened in my childhood doesn't need to be happening now. I don't need to see my partner as if my partner is someone who is doing the same as it happened to my childhood. My partner is complaining, not because my partner doesn't like me, but because I am so important to my partner that my partner is feeling hurt because my partner loves my presence and my partner wants to be with me. This is what is hard to see sometimes and understand. And what happens is that, for example, for the avoidant, partner thinks, well, I shouldn't share my problems, what happens with me to my partner, because my partner is not interested about what happens with me, and I'm going to be a burden. But why it happens? It happens because in the childhood, when this person shared something with their attachment figures, this person felt criticized, was rebuffed, and then creates that fear. If I share something, my partner is not going to understand. There are cases, Trisha, that I have heard that people said to me, if I had a problem at school, if a kid would hit me, then my parents said that they would hit me as well at home. So I couldn't tell them that I had been hit. If I had some wound, I had to create a story different that they wouldn't say that a kid hit me. So what happens? Well, not everyone has something like in their lives, but many people that I ask, when you were a teenager and you felt hurt, your girlfriend or boyfriend dumped you, could you tell your parents? Could you tell them what happened to you? And they said, no, I couldn't. I would tell like another friend, but I wouldn't tell my parents. So what happens? This person think, well, I shouldn't really open my heart to the people who love me because they are not interested about this. I should figure out alone what happens to me. It's so sad that these people, when they have a problem, they isolate themselves and their partners feel like they are not really important. They are not that trusted person that could really talk to their partner, be there to their partner, not to problem solve, not to give advices, but just to listen to empathize, to validate. It creates loneliness for both of them because one of them has a problem, becomes really quiet, and the other person is wondering, what is happening? Did I do something? And even if they know that it's not about them, they think, well, why not talk to me? He or she doesn't trust me. So it's sad how these things cause a lot of loneliness, Trisha. And we are going to keep on talking about this in our next podcast. So we invite our listeners to connect again and learn more about this.
Right, Claudia, you're paving the way for the next part two to this discussion and setting that really strong foundation of understanding your partner's pain is how to be responsive in a loving way where you can be empathic and hear the vulnerabilities that are underneath both sides that are being misunderstood. And this does date back from the very first relationships we had in our life with our family of origin. So I'm excited, Claudio. Again, as always, it's so wonderful to do this with you. And I think we'll have a lot more to discuss at our next episode. So to be continued.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. We hope you'll join us soon again for our next episode of Thriving Your Love.